is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens? And then Psalm 86 and verse 12. Psalm 86 and verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us as we focus on this matter of glorifying your name. I pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. What is good Christian living? How can a person achieve being a good Christian? Surely the answers to these two questions could make up at least a year's worth of preaching. Many hundreds, if not thousands, of books have been written to help believers answer these two questions. What is a good Christian living, and how can I achieve good Christian living? So do I assume to answer this in one sermon today? No, for sure not. Such an attempt would be quite presumptuous. I will, however, make an obvious statement. Whatever is done to accomplish good Christian living, however a believer achieves being a good Christian, one thing will be true: God's name will be glorified. If a born-again person uses this as a standard, it will help in an unimaginable way to guide a person through this maze called life. Now, as pastor emeritus of this church for about 7.5 years, I am more convinced than ever what each of us needs, each of us, including myself in this, it is a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. That's the one thing that we need. There's many things that we need, okay? There's many things that we could benefit from, but at the top of the list, or the one thing that may encompass them all, it's a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. A personal, intimate, real as daily life, living with Jesus Christ. But I must warn you, there is something more dangerous than a rattlesnake or a coral snake, a pit viper, or that poisonous snake that I'm told chases its victims. More lethal than the most toxic substance that is known to mankind. There is something more threatening than a terrorist attack. Something more alarming than HIV or AIDS or the COVID-19 pandemic. What could it be? I'll tell you. But I'll also tell you that most of you won't believe me. What could be worse than any of these things or things similar? It's being satisfied with your Christian life. Being content with yourself. I didn't say being content, but being content with yourself. Not caring about what's wrong in your life. No desire to see wrongs made right. Statements such as, well, I've lived this way this long, I don't know if I can change. No, I can guarantee you, you won't change. Why is it that the things of daily life are more dangerous, more threatening, more alarming? Why is it that the things that we face like disease and poisonous animals and snakes and the like. Why is it that these things, like COVID, is more threatening to us than being satisfied with where I'm at in my Christian life? Why is it? It's because they are more real to us than the spiritual, eternal things. Jesus, our Christ, must become more real to us. In our daily living, at our home, where we work, in our recreation, at school, not just here at church, not just when we read our Bible and pray, Jesus Christ must become more real to us. We need to live like God was right there beside you, because He is. Each one of us will be helped to grow by learning more about our great God. Could not help but think when we sang that last song, what a friend we have in Jesus. When we experience the things that are referenced in the verses of that song, the writer of the song intended to communicate to us that Jesus will help us with those things. But we fret and stew, we worry about, we call the pastor and we ask him to pray. We talk with friends. But every believer can achieve being a good Christian by being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being like Jesus. Doing what Jesus would do. And you know, it wasn't too many years ago that was a quite popular thing. T-shirts, necklaces, bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now I realize it was commercialized and that part of it we don't light. But the concept was true. What would Jesus do in this kind of situation? How Jesus would respond surely would qualify as good Christian living. To learn more about our God, if we study the names of God, and that's not what we're doing in this message, there could be an endless series to do that. But that will help us to see the truth about the person and the character of God. Maybe some people are only this high in their Christian living. One of the reasons they're only this high in Christian living is because that's how high their God is. You see? They're only this high in Christian living. They can't get any higher because they have a little God. But if we study the Word of God, if we study the names of God, if you're familiar with the internet, you can go on and find an endless list of the names of God. You familiar with Christian bookstores or access places for Christian books? You can find books about the names of God. There are so many in the Scriptures. And to learn more about our God, so that our God is not just here, but He's here. Our God should always be above where we are in Christian living. Stop and think, if you will, please. Why would some Christians of all ages be satisfied with where they are in Christian living? What kind of Christian are they? How do they act and react to things? We have a dangerous condition threatening to the church, a situation about which we should be alarmed when Christians have a lifestyle living more than a personal relationship with a precious Savior and Lord. I'll develop this thought so you understand where I'm coming from. It is a real relationship that will govern our living. When we have a vibrant, real, as real as you're seeing me and I'm seeing you, relationship with Jesus Christ. When that governs our living, it'll make a difference. A lifestyle is just another term for outward. What people see. What people think. How I look. And how others consider me. A real relationship is personal and inner. It's a matter of the soul. A lifestyle is impersonal. It's outward. It's a matter of the flesh. Oh, of course, the real relationship produces a way of living that is a good testimony for others to watch. But here, this is a key word, a mere Christian lifestyle way of living can never produce a spiritual work in the heart of a person. We're not looking to produce a lifestyle. We're looking to produce a relationship with Jesus Christ that causes us to live in such a way that what other people see is appealing. Now, I understand. I've used the term lifestyle already. I think there's a right way to use it, a right context to refer to it. We certainly would rather have a person have a Christian lifestyle than we would a worldly lifestyle. We'd rather they have a Christian lifestyle than we would that they have an ungodly lifestyle. I recognize it. I understand it. But I think we ought to be seeking for something more than the minimal. And that's where seeking a real relationship with Jesus Christ comes in. In Psalm 29, Psalm 29 and verse 2. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord glory due his name. We owe it to him. It's due him that we would give glory to him and give honor to him, that we would have everything that we have that would point people to Jesus Christ. Doing what godly Christians do does not make one godly. Doing what godly Christians do does not make one godly. You see, that's where the lifestyle is. There's a real Christian, a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's certain things that they do. There's certain things that they avoid doing. They're endeavoring to live to please, to honor Jesus Christ. That's godliness. But for another person now to look at them and simply imitate what they do and don't do, that doesn't make them godly.
Right.
It doesn't make them godly. It makes them a counterfeit. Because it's not real. It's just a lifestyle. And that's what we need to avoid. We need to be seeking to live in a way that produces true honor to Jesus Christ. Now there is yet one more reason why some don't live for God. They don't know God. They're not saved. Never have been, and therefore all they can do is try to live the way Christians live. And of course, a person doing that, imitating the godly person, that's better than them going out and living like a hellion. Okay? I don't like them just imitating the real person, because they get a false confidence then, a false assurance, and that's not helpful. But neither is it to say to them, don't imitate good living, just go out and live like the devil. Well, that's not right either, is it, huh? Something doesn't come together for that. Praise God, He gave us the Holy Spirit. You see, and the Holy Spirit comes to a person, talks to a person, convicts them of what they're doing and not doing. And aren't you glad He doesn't stop when He's drawn us to the Father? Aren't you glad that when He convicted you regarding salvation and brought you to salvation, that He didn't stop working in your life? Now this morning I somewhat teased about my wife. I call her the Holy Spirit's helper because she loves me and she wants to do things and call things to my attention that help me. And it is a help. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, because He loves us. He calls things to our attention. Why? Because He wants to help us. He wants to help us to live a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, just because we got saved and were born into the family of God doesn't mean that we automatically do everything right. Now, those of you that are saved, you know that. In a sense, I'm preaching to the choir on that one. But at the same time, I'm aware of just because I know something doesn't mean I do something. And that's one of the roles of the preacher, of a pastor, to call to people's attention, to remind them of things. And those of us who are living that, obeying that, I remember one first time, I remember a lot of first times, but I remember the first time I thought this. I was sitting in a church and the preacher was preaching something that I already knew. I had learned it. I had accepted it. I had incorporated it in my living. And I thought to myself, well, now I know that. I don't need to hear that again. And that was a selfish thought, because there were other people there who maybe didn't know that. There were other people there that were perhaps being convicted about that. And my thought was, I don't need to hear that, preacher. Preach something else. I already got that one mastered. Shows how immature I was, huh? I told you this was many years ago. Yeah. But you know something that I've come to realize? That even if I hear something that I've already learned, hear something that I'm already living, it reminds me so that I keep on living it. It reminds me so that I can be thankful to God that He's brought me to that point and position in life. You know, you just can't get around it. When God gave preaching as a way of teaching us His word and what it means to have a relationship with Him, He gave us a good thing. I don't know about you, but I'm eager for Pastor to come back. Now, I like preaching, okay? I don't mind leading. Outside of preaching more than what I would usually do, I don't do anything more than I've been doing, okay? I lead the singing, I give the announcements, okay? And all of that sort of thing. But it's just not the same when the shepherd's not here. Have you noticed that? It's just not the same. And the longer the shepherd's gone, the more we realize that. Think about an actual flock of sheep. The shepherd's with them. He's taking care of them. He's making sure they eat where they need to. He keeps them from wandering off and getting other places. And then for some reason, the shepherd has to backtrack a little where maybe he felt he dropped something on the trail. The sheep are going to begin to miss him. Why? Because they know his voice. And they're not hearing the shepherd's voice. And they're looking. And if you were to see an actual flock of sheep, you would see them begin to lift their heads. And especially if somebody else comes along and talks. And so the shepherd comes back. And like I said, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for our shepherd to be back. Now, our shepherd needs to go, okay? And we need to allow the shepherd to go, just like he has now to preach, I think, in two different places. There's times where, like, he's gone to Vietnam. There's times where he's gone, and it's in between services, but he's gone to a conference out at Horsehead. The shepherd needs to go, okay? And I don't doubt what there's somebody here that when the shepherd's going to go somewhere, they think to themselves, maybe even say to, husband or wife on the way home, he's going again. He's going again. And he's always going someplace. Yeah. You see, when you go someplace, only your family misses you. But when the shepherd goes someplace, didn't see this one coming. When the shepherd goes someplace, only his family misses him. And that's not his natural family, okay? It's his church family. And so, but I'm nevertheless, I'm ready for him to come back. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm glad there were some that said amen, because he'll be listening to this, okay? Oh, my. Well, in this message, I made reference to the fact that we need to, in order to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to be like Jesus. And in our songbook, there is a song that is written about that. Page 270 is what we're going to turn to and sing. Let me just read a couple stanzas of this. Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me. Why? Because I want to be like Jesus. Oh, but sometimes worldly things do enthrall us. And young people, I understand, they do entice us. But young people, do you know that the Bible says there is pleasure in sin? You know the Bible says that? Do you enjoy sin? You know, that's, Bible said you would. But listen to the rest of the verse. There is pleasure in sin for a season. That doesn't mean, you know, summer, fall, winter, spring. It means for a short period of time. There's other Bible verses that tell us, yeah, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but also the consequences of sin is deadly. Amen. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me. Why can the songwriter say that? He answers it because I would be like Jesus. Let's sing it. Page 270.
Earthly pleasure vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. My song in the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. He has broken every fetter. I would be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song. In the home and in the throng, be like Jesus. Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus all the way from earth to glory. I would be like Jesus, telling more and more the story. I would be like Jesus, be like Jesus. This is my song in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus, that in heaven he may meet me. I would be like Jesus, that his words well done may greet me. I would be like Jesus, be like Jesus. This my song in the home. Like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus.
Brother Thad, would you please close our service in prayer?
Father, we're thankful for this time we've had to be able to share together. Thank you for a good time of fellowship and worship.